glorifying God for, and that's one of them. I love the story of the song, and you got to be paying attention in that song. It talks about the blood of bulls and of goats came to an end. They couldn't atone for our sins forever, but the blood of Jesus could. Oh, we ought to just have a shouting good time. Because one day we'll be thankful for the blood. Why not be thankful for it now? Let's not be ashamed of the blood of Jesus. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would. Join me in Genesis chapter number 40 this morning. If you would, please. Genesis chapter number 40. As you're finding your place there, Joseph was placed into the prison by Potiphar after being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And verse number 21 of chapter 39 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Our text this morning, we'll look at the entire chapter, but for the sake of our reading at the beginning here this morning, we're just going to read the first few verses. Would you stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the Word of God, Genesis chapter number 40, beginning in verse number 1. "It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward." Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the songs that we've sang about the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater. There's no greater gift that has been provided so full and free for all of mankind, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, then salvation by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that gift this morning. We're so thankful for your word. Speak to our hearts, and may your spirit have liberty, true liberty this morning as your word goes forth, as the songs have been sung. And may you speak to us in very personal and practical ways this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing this morning. You can be seated. It's been a long time since Joseph had been given dreams by God. Way back in chapter number 37, where Joseph had been given great dreams from a great God. Dreams of prosperity, dreams of ruling, dreams of authority, dreams of position and all of those things. And here we find Joseph once again in Egypt, in a foreign land. And he's already spent some time in a physical pit, but here he finds himself in a prison. And we've begun, as we've looked through this series already, and I like to re-preach messages, but I won't re-preach the whole series this morning. Joseph, how he handles those pit moments of life provides us with some lessons that we can learn, some ways that we can learn how that we ought to respond in those pit experiences, in those prison experiences. And one commentator said this: many people live in the pits. Isn't that true? A lot of people live in pits and aren't in pits. They just believe that it can't get any better. Life's always going to be bad. Life's always going to be bitter. Life's always going to be against us. There are those that live that way. And though they might not be literal prisons or literal pits, they're just simply the unpleasant realities of life. They're circumstances over which we have no control and from which we aren't able to remove ourselves. And Joseph gives us some pictures of how we can live in those pits. Places. This morning we get a different perspective of how Joseph. We already understand that he's in prison. We already understand that. He's going to teach us some lessons this morning, I believe, about how to handle those holding patterns. Anybody work in the aviation industry know what a holding pattern is? I remember we flew into, I think it was Los Angeles one time, and as soon as we get there, we're like, great, the flight's over, and then they said, you're going to have to circle a few times. There's nothing like being ready to be on the ground, and they say, nope, we're going to have to circle a few times. That's a holding pattern, where whatever reason, whether it's the runways are backed up, or whatever the reason, or weather, or whatever it is, you find yourself just circling the airport. And just like in aviation, many people find themselves in the holding patterns, seemingly going nowhere, maybe expending a lot of energy, but it seems like you're just going in circles. But just like in the aviation world, those holding patterns are for a purpose. They want everybody to get on the ground safe, right? They want everybody to get where they're going, right? And when God sometimes has us in those holding patterns, there are some lessons and some purposes for us in them. As Joseph found himself in a holding pattern type of situation, we have to understand a couple of things, is that Joseph didn't see him as the victim. Now, that's a big deal, because most of our society today in Joseph's situation would see themselves as the victim. We would see ourselves, woe is me, why is all of this happening to me? And instead of Joseph focusing on his circumstances, in order for Joseph to get to Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, where it says, whereas ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, didn't primarily mean that Joseph just had a positive outlook on life, or that Joseph had a positive mental attitude. No, the subject of that sentence where it says, whereas you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, the subject of that sentence isn't Joseph's understanding that good things are going to happen in the end. No, the subject of that statement is who his God was, and that he knew who God was. And I don't believe that Joseph thought or enjoyed every circumstance or situation that he was in. I think that there were very much times where Joseph in his heart of hearts must have wondered why, but I also believe in my heart of hearts that the reason that Joseph was able to continue in these holding patterns in the pit and in the prison is even when he got to the point where he wondered why, he knew the God who knew why. He knew the God that knew why. I read one place long ago. I had it handwritten in my notes that from years ago, and so I don't know if I said it or if somebody else said it or not, but it's good either way. It says God is not obliged to bless if we let our sour circumstances sour us. God's not obliged to bless if we let our sour circumstances sour us. This passage finds Joseph again in prison, shut off from society, but still some lessons that we can learn. Still some lessons that Joseph teaches us in his prison of suffering, of solitude, of loneliness. Life often leads us into these holding patterns, these prison type of situations from time to time, and we're going to face hardships, we're going to face trials. Sometimes we'll feel like Joseph sometimes, that we've been left all alone, that we've been abandoned by those closest to us. I think we're reminded this morning, as if we just look back a few verses, it says the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord did cause everything that he did to prosper. And in our text this morning, we're going to read in just a moment that when everything was going wrong, and when he's in the prison, and when he's given charge of other prisoners, and those other prisoners have problems, Joseph's not isn't trying to promote himself. He's not trying to work his way out. He's still pointing people to the Lord. Joseph, I think, gives us some examples this morning. I think he gives us example, first of all, this morning of waiting in prison. Waiting. One of the hardest things we do is wait. Anybody here enjoy waiting? You enjoy sitting at a traffic stop at 2 o'clock in the morning when the light's red and there's not another car for miles? You don't like waiting in line, waiting in for the traffic light. How about at the grocery store when you've got like two things and the person in front of you's got like 167 things? And it seems like your line is going so slow and the line next to you is going super fast. But you know, as soon as you jump to that other line, it's going to become the slow line. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting. But we really don't like waiting when we're in pain. And that waiting becomes even more intolerable, whether it's emotional or physical. And probably why we have such an aversion to going to the doctor's office, because once you check in at the doctor's office, guess what they tell you to do? Wait. You get to go and you get to sit in a place that we often dislike called the waiting room. And you know you're going to be in a waiting room for a long time when there's a stack of expired magazines, there's rock-hard sofas to sit on, and all the televisions are turned to soap operas. You know it's going to be a long wait. It might be safe to say that that's one of the most dreaded places on earth. I remember I was waiting in the waiting room a year or so ago, and I was told it was going to be a 45-minute procedure before I could go back and see the person I was waiting on, and turned into a 2-hour and 15-minute surgery. That's way too much soap operas for me. That's way too much of the People magazines or whatever they are. We don't like to wait. You know, over and over in Scripture, God's people are told to wait. In Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In Psalms 37 and verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." It's almost as though Joseph is teaching us a biblical principle about waiting. When we're tempted to take matters into our own hands, Proverbs 20 even says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." One of the most familiar verses to most in here this morning is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Joseph was learning to wait. He's teaching us how to wait. Verse 5 of our text says, those two men that joined Pharaoh Joseph in prison were Pharaoh's chief butler and his chief baker, those in charge of the cup that the king would drink out of, and the man in charge of the kitchens and the food that Pharaoh would be served. And apparently there was an issue with those. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, the Bible says. Each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them. And behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dreams, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine hand and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and there also have I done nothing, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." The baker and the butler, when they're placed in prison, they have another prisoner, a servant assigned to them to minister to their needs. And on the surface, it may just seem like another assignment given to a slave in prison. In reality, this was the providence of a sovereign God. I don't believe these were the first folks that Joseph served in prison, but I do believe that Joseph was in prison specifically to serve these two men. God had brought Joseph face to face with the man God would use to secure Joseph's release from this prison. I think it'd be good for us to remember that this wasn't an accident, that our God doesn't do things by mistake or haphazardly or by accident. God, the Bible tells us that God orders the minutes of our days, that there are no accidents with God. Waiting on the Lord sometimes is necessary. Waiting is necessary, but sometimes waiting can be difficult, I think, for three different reasons at least. Number one, I think waiting rearranges our priorities. Waiting's hard. And there's some times in life where God kind of tells us to slow down. We need to wait. We're going too fast. God uses the circumstances of life to get our full and undivided attention. He needs us to wait. Waiting rearranges our priorities. It slows us down. It slows down our schedules. It forces us to listen to God. Waiting also doesn't just rearrange our priorities. Waiting fortifies our faith. It fortifies our faith. Here's good news for us this morning. Sometimes God tells us to wait, but He doesn't always tell us how long to wait. Sometimes God tells us to wait, but He doesn't always tell us just how long we're supposed to wait. You might be in that place this morning. You're waiting and you don't know how much longer you can hold out. You feel like giving up. You feel like walking away. You wonder if it's worth it. Perhaps you've been waiting for a long time. I'll remind you, Scripture over and over again, we get pictures of men and women who patiently waited for God. One that sprung to my mind as I was thinking of this message this morning was Abraham and Sarah, who waited 25 years after the promise of Isaac for Isaac to be born. That had taken some faith. That had taken some faith. Would you turn with me quickly this morning to Psalms chapter 40? We'll be back in our text, obviously, this morning, but Psalms chapter 40. This is a passage of Scripture that's become very personal to me in times, and I'm not by any means comparing myself to the psalmist here, but I can definitely feel as though I've been in some situations that like the psalmist paints for us. In Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1, the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Those two words, when you put them together, waiting and patiently, it's kind of like an oxymoron. It's hard to do both of those things. And really, what he's saying is, while I waited, I waited. And while I waited patiently. You know, when we're waiting on the Lord, and I think maybe that's the principle and the promise that Joseph is giving us, when we're waiting on the Lord, it ought to be easier to wait patiently. It ought to be easier to wait patiently. He says in Psalms chapter 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Did you understand where He brought him from? It might not have been a physical pit. It might not have been a physical mire, but it was a low place. It was a dark place. It was an overwhelming place. He said, He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. One man said it this way, God can deliver us from any sort of pit or plight that would destroy our faith. And he said, and when He does, sing. Sing. Waiting rearranges our priorities. Waiting fortifies our faith. Waiting refocuses our rejoicing. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that song that the men sang this morning. I'm thankful for that song. It reminds me, listen, you know what that song first of all reminded me of? My pits. Those dark times, those prison-type experiences. No, not literal, but spiritual, emotional, whatever they might be. And how that it was by the grace of God that He delivered us from those. And as I was thinking about that, the words of this psalm came to my mind. I waited patiently for the Lord. I wish that was my testimony in all of those holding pattern type of experiences. I wish that was my testimony every time the Lord has asked me to wait. But the other side of that testimony is always true. The Lord always hears us. The Lord always inclines unto us. He hears our cry. He always delivers us out in His timing. And He's put a new song in my mouth, even praising to our God. Joseph teaches us lessons about waiting in prison. He teaches us lessons about ministering in the prison experiences of life. And I think verse 6 of our text is a little bit funny this morning, where it tells us that they were sad. How else would you be if you were in prison? Would you be happy to be there? But this is a, there's something about this that Joseph understood and can tell that there's something different going on with these two men, and he encourages them to speak to him. He encourages them to tell them their dreams, and they do, and the butler tells Joseph his dream, and he gets a favorable interpretation, and verse 16 says, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the baskets upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. I think it's a good reminder as that Joseph continued to minister to people in prison. Joseph, in this prison experience, he remained honorable. He remained honorable. You notice here there were two different dreams. There were two different interpretations. And there could have been the likelihood, the inclination when that second dream came to pass and Joseph told that second dream, there could have been this the inclination for Joseph to say, well, I didn't really get a clear understanding of that one. No, Joseph was an honorable man. Not only was he honorable in his honesty, but he was honorable in the fact that he still honored God. If we were to put ourselves in Joseph's place, he's been given dreams from the Lord. In his dreams, he was told he was going to rule, and those dreams have yet to be fulfilled. And from all appearances, on this particular day in Joseph's life, it doesn't seem like they're going to be fulfilled anytime soon. But even though Joseph finds himself in one of those waiting room experiences of life, he doesn't lose hope. He doesn't stop honoring God. He doesn't turn his back on the one who gave them to him. In fact, Joseph is actively looking for ways to glorify God. In fact, he's pointing them to the only one who had power to discern their meaning. He said, I know who can help. He said, it's my God. It's my God. Listen, pointing other people to Jesus might sound difficult. It might sound uncomfortable. But you know what? Pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ is the best thing that you or I can do with our life. Pointing people, telling people, sharing the gospel with the lost today, sharing the gospel with those lost in sin and sickness and wickedness, and perhaps even those lost in religion and rituals and traditions, showing people how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the best thing that you and I can invest our lives in. It's the best thing. Our duty in those waiting rooms and those holding patterns is to actively seek ways to glorify God. Our circumstances might be bad. Circumstances might be bad. Circumstances didn't look good for Joseph, but he understood that his God was still good. And he learned the importance of glorifying God even when, whether the sun was shining or there were clouds in the sky. He learned the importance of pointing others to God, even though his heart might be heavy, his heart might be breaking, he might feel hopeless. He remained honorable. He remained helpful. Helpful. A lot of times it's hard to see further than our own need when we're in those prison experiences, when we're in those holding patterns. And it's difficult to see the needs of others because all we can think about is how bad we've hurt or how bad we've been hurt. And Joseph gives us an example of helping those who are hurting, even in difficult circumstances. I think that's a good example of what Jesus did while he was on this earth, helping people who were hurting, ministering to people, loving people. Joseph was helpful. He remained honorable. Joseph, even in this situation, he didn't just remain honorable and helpful, but he remained hopeful. He still had hope. He still had hope. It's easy. You've probably heard it before. It's easy to be joyful and hopeful when we have no burden. It's easy to praise the Lord and laugh and smile and serve when all of our needs are met. It takes something more, a real walk with God, an abiding relationship with God, an understanding of the Spirit of God, a true love for God, and a true heart for God, and a right priority for God, a right placement of God in our life as preeminent in our life, to praise the Lord, to have hope, to be helpful, to stay honorable when it seems like the bottom falls out of life. Anybody can praise the Lord when things are going well. Anybody can praise the Lord when things are going well. He remained honorable. He remained hopeful. He remained helpful. Joseph teaches us an important lesson this morning about continuing to wait, even when we're in those prison experiences, even when we're in those holding patterns. He teaches us the importance of continuing to minister and to serve other people. Not lose hope. Not lose hope. Not only that, was he faithful. He was faithful in the prison experiences. He was waiting. He was ministering. He was faithful. He was faithful. I think it's interesting, if you note there, one of the most interesting things I think we see in our text this morning is in verse 14 and 15. Throughout his time serving his family, or throughout his time in Potiphar's house, throughout his time in prison, we don't see him asking for anything in return for his help. It's only when he gave the chief butler the interpretation of his dreams do we see that he asked for something. Verse 14, he says, "Think on me when it shall be well with thee." Our text goes on after we've read this morning. It says in verse 20, "And it came to pass that third day, just like Joseph had interpreted, just as God had given him the interpretation of the dream, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." After being faithful for so long, Joseph may have thought that his chance to be free and to go home was finally around the corner, but we find him again. We find him forgotten. We find him forgotten. I wonder if every time from that moment, every time Joseph heard the prison door open, Joseph thought it was someone coming to set him free. The scripture tells us the butler forgot. As days turned into weeks and weeks to months and months into two long years, Joseph is waiting. Joseph is waiting. Joseph is waiting. And though he was forgotten, we find in our text Joseph was not forsaken. He was not forsaken. He would like to have been freed, I'm sure, long before he was, but it wasn't in God's timing. You see, listen, if Joseph had managed to be released, if Joseph had managed to make it home, if Joseph had managed to be reunited with his family, it would only have been a matter of time before the famine hit. Without a wise man in Pharaoh's court to help the country preserve resources, Joseph's family would have no food and they'd have died. Joseph had to learn a tough lesson about faithfulness in the prison. Though he might have been forgotten by man, though he might have been forsaken by man, he was not forgotten by God. He was not forsaken by God. He learned the truth that God knows what's best for our life. Joseph could have gotten angry. He could have got discouraged. He could have become depressed as time passed with no clear answer from God. But we don't read that his actions were anything other than what they've been all along. He continued to be faithful. He waited for God. One man said, "The safest place you can be in your life is when you admit, I don't understand. I don't have it all figured out." He said, then we leave space in our lives to trust God, ability in our life to hold on to the promises that God has given us. And we learn the lesson that our God is never late. We learn through Scripture, when did God feed Elijah? When did he rescue those three Hebrew boys? When did he close the lion's mouths when Daniel was in the lion's den? When did Jesus come to his men on the sea in that stormy night? Not when they would have liked, but he came right on time. He came right on time. There will be times of disappointment that are going to come. Joseph gives us a tremendous example about waiting on the Lord, waiting in those difficult times, waiting in those holding the pattern times of our life. Waiting rearranges our priorities. Waiting ought to strengthen our faith. It ought to fortify our faith. Waiting refocuses our rejoicing. As we wait in those waiting type experiences, we expect it to continue to minister to one another, to minister to those around us. Joseph never lost hope, never stopped honoring God, never stopped being helpful. Have you ever read a book? Have you ever been reading a book or maybe a movie or something where nothing but bad happens to the main character for so long that you just kind of get sick of it? Well, we kind of find Joseph in that spot this morning, and that's kind of where we leave Joseph, stuck in the prison. The one chance he had to be set free is past. He was forgotten. His friend failed him. He was all alone. But little did he know that this experience with the butler and the baker were only setting the stage for what was to come. You know why? Because in Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh was about to start dreaming. And Pharaoh was going to need someone to tell him what his dream meant. It may seem like Joseph's life was in a holding pattern. It might have been easy for him to feel forgotten and forsaken, but God hadn't forgotten about him. God hadn't forgotten about him. Maybe this morning you're looking at disappointments. All you see around you are discouraging things, and you don't know how to handle them. Maybe you're seeking direction. The best thing that we can do while we're waiting is continue to be faithful to our Heavenly Father. Oh, he was faithful to us. I got to thinking about this idea of being forgotten and forsaken. And as Jesus made his way to the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine, he was forgotten. He was forsaken by those closest to him. And yet still he laid down his life. He shed his precious blood for your sins and for mine. The least we can do is remain faithful to him. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? The best thing that we can do this morning with our hurts, with our heartaches, with our waiting experiences is bring them to the Lord. There's help there. You may feel forgotten. You may feel forsaken. But I hope you know we have a God, a Heavenly Father, who will never forsake us, who will never leave us, who loves us more than we can know. Heavenly Father, would you be with this few moments of invitation this morning? Would you speak to our hearts? And as you speak, would we be receptive and obedient to your will today? In Jesus' name, amen. As the Lord spoke into your heart, won't you come? Maybe you're in one of those holding pattern type situations in life. You don't know what to do next. Well, just do what God's called you to do. Be faithful, be obedient, be hopeful. Maybe you're in one of those tough situations.